Jesus has a perfect commitment to us. He always has and he always will, and he's there to pick us up when we stumble in our relationships.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor John, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about friendships. Do you have strong ones? How about the best friendship possible? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor John explaining why friends are a gift from God. Thanks for listening.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we focus on the relationship of friends, it came to my mind, as I was preparing for our focus today, it came to my mind that there's a lot of songs that talk about friends and friendships. And I have a couple examples here before me. Here's a verse from a comedy band talking about friends. Friends help you when you're in danger. Friends are people who are not strangers. Friends help you shift into a new place, tell you if you've got food on your face. Maybe your first thought of a song that talks about friendship was something a little bit more famous and well-known. Maybe something like, You've Got a Friend in Me. You know, the song from the Toy Story movies. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You've got troubles, and I've got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do. We stick together and we see it through, because you've got a friend in me. Just what is it that makes a friend? Is it just somebody who you're comfortable around, someone who can point out when you've got food on your face? Is it somebody who is a close person that you can tell your deepest fears to? Is it someone that you go to in times of need? Is it just someone that you've shared experiences with? There's another song about friends that we Christians like to sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. And as we think of that song, we might ask ourselves, what can the God whose own dear son is our friend teach us about our relationship with our friends? Well, he can teach us a lot, because he is the one who has given us the relationship of friends as a gift, as a treasure. And as we focus on this relationship today, we have before us one of the greatest tales of friendship that's in the Bible. It's the tale of Jonathan and David. And not only is it a great tale of friendship, but it's a story from God's word that brings us closer in our relationship with God. So as we begin our study of this relationship of Jonathan and David, we look to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 2 and 4, where we see the beginning of this friendship, the friendship of Jonathan and David. We first read from chapter 18 of 1 Samuel. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. So far, our reading. It would be good for us to take a moment here as we begin to remind ourselves who Jonathan and David were. Now, David, we know as the king of Israel, the greatest king of Israel. Yet at this time, in these verses that we just read, he had not yet ascended to those heights. David at this time was just David, the shepherd boy, the youngest son of Jesse, the man who no human would have chosen to be the next king of Israel, and yet God sent his prophet Samuel to the household of Jesse and anointed not any of the older brothers, but David as the next king of Israel to replace Saul. And Jonathan, well, Jonathan was the eldest son of King Saul. He was a mighty warrior. We hear of his many conquests in the early chapters of 1 Samuel, and he feared the Lord. Now these two men became friends shortly after David had defeated Goliath. And while David would have been relatively known in the household of Saul, it wasn't as a warrior. It would have just been as the young shepherd boy who spent time going between his father's household and the king's household, playing the harp, playing beautiful music to soothe Saul, who was afflicted by an evil spirit. So Jonathan likely knew of David. David likely knew of Jonathan. But the friendship starts after David had defeated Goliath. That's what chapter 18 tells us about. It tells us about the aftermath of David defeating Goliath. And so the question is, why did David and Jonathan become friends at this time? Was it because of what David had done when he defeated Goliath? Yes. The answer is yes, but it might not be for the reason that you're thinking. It's not because David did some amazing thing in defeating this giant Philistine, and Jonathan was so impressed that he wanted to be friends with this really amazing person, David. You know, we've probably all been there where we see our favorite athlete or our favorite musician, celebrity, or maybe it's just a really successful entrepreneur, and we look at that person and we think, wow, I'd love to be friends with him. Or I'd love to be friends with her, because then my name would be associated with that person's greatness. But is that really the foundation of a true friendship? Is that really why Jonathan became one in spirit with David and loved him as himself? No, it was because of David's character and because of his faith. Remember, David didn't defeat Goliath because he was so strong or mighty or because he was clever or crafty. He defeated Goliath because he trusted in the Lord to give deliverance to the Israelites. He trusted that the Lord was with him as he stood out there on that battlefield. And Jonathan saw that. He saw that faith. He saw that trust. He saw the character of David, and because he too was a man of the Lord and had that same character, he loved him as himself. He loved him selflessly. Loved David just as much as he loved anything about himself, any cares or concerns about himself, and he showed it. And when you hear that phrase, selfless love, loving as himself, do you think of another individual from the Bible? Jesus, right? The answer is Jesus. You hear about selfless love and our minds go right to Jesus, because Jesus loved us so selflessly that he went to the cross and died for us. And Jesus didn't just love friends selflessly. No, he loved enemies selflessly, because that's what we were to Jesus in our sins. We were his enemies. And yet he loved us so selflessly that he went to the cross to die for our sins, to wash us clean in his blood and clothe us with his righteousness so that he can call us his friends. And that's what we hear in John chapter 15. Jesus calls us his friends. He says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in my love. This is my command, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." And he says, "This is my command, love each other." The word that Jesus uses to call the disciples and to call us his friends is related to the word that Jonathan used, or that's used to describe how Jonathan loved David. It's a word that speaks about the dearness in a relationship, how one is treasured, deeply appreciated. It's a closeness in a relationship. And then the other word that Jesus uses for love when he tells us in his command to love one another, well, that's the familiar agape love that we hear so often when we read through our Bibles. It's that selfless love, the love that's sacrificing, that makes a sacrifice for the sake of others. It's that love that is the foundation of our relationships, including the relationship of friends. Because without that self-sacrificing love, there is nothing to found that relationship of dearness upon. And Jonathan showed that right away when he gave David his tunic and his robe and his sword and his bow and his belt. Jonathan showed that selflessness. He wanted David to be properly attired for the king, for the king's court, to be in the presence of Saul, and he also wanted to show to him that he was giving of himself. He wanted to express the friendship in a tangible way. Maybe you're familiar with the children's book, The Giving Tree. That's the story about a little boy and a tree who are friends. And the little boy comes to the tree, and the tree always has something to give to the boy. When he's really small, it's a branch to swing from and maybe an apple or two to eat. As the boy gets older, it's not just to eat an apple or two, but apples to sell to make money. It's wood to build a house, to build a boat. And all through the boy's life, all through the tree's life, as the tree is giving the boy again and again from itself, the tree is happy because she can give something to the boy. Again and again, that refrain repeats itself. The tree was happy because she was able to give something to the boy. And at the end of the boy's life, when he's just an old man who can barely walk, who has no teeth, that can't eat a hard apple, the tree is cut down to nothing but a stump, and yet the tree is able to give that boy a place to sit. And the tree was happy because she had something to give to her friend. That's selfless friendship. That's friendship that gives to the other person who is dearly loved. Can you be that kind of friend? Can you be the friend that gives from yourself? The love of Christ that is in your heart, the love of Christ that you live in as you live your Christian life, that love says yes. You can be that friend. Just as Jonathan was a dear, selfless friend to David in all times of need, so you can be that friend. And we'll see how that friendship was a lasting friendship that lasted even through difficult and trying times. But first, it's good for us to get some more background on David and his life. Because, as I said, chapter 18 of Samuel tells us what happened after David defeated Goliath. The people admired David. The women sang songs of praises. But King Saul became jealous. King Saul became so jealous, in fact, that he started to, in his anger and rage, chase after David and try to take his life. Multiple times he tried to kill David when he was in his presence, and David was forced to flee into the countryside, into the wilderness of Israel, and Saul continued to pursue him as an enemy, even though David had never done anything but serve him. It was one of the most trying times of David's life. And many of the psalms that David wrote reflect this. Many of the psalms of David speak of the terror that surrounded him as he fled from his enemies. And yet, even during this time, the friendship between David and Jonathan lasted. And in fact, as we turn to chapter 20 of 1 Samuel, we hear that they renewed their friendship with an oath, with a covenant. We read from 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 16 and 17. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord call David's enemies to account." And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as himself. Jonathan would have had quite a difficult time during all of this strife between Saul and David as well. Think of it. Saul was his father, and David was his best friend. And yet the two of them had no peace. How his heart must have ached as he saw these two people that he loved, two people who were dear to him, constantly in this struggle. And yet Jonathan didn't give up his end of the friendship either. In fact, Jonathan comes and he makes this covenant. He renews this oath, this swearing of friendship with David. And it's important to note that the Bible says they made a covenant. It's not just that they were friends and had a friendship, but it uses this language that says they made a covenant. And you might just read over that quickly and think that's just Bible speak and that's just how the Bible would talk about a relationship, but a covenant is a significant thing. Where else in the Bible do you hear about a covenant? Most often it's with God, making it with a man, like with God and Abraham, a covenant to him, that he would make him into a great nation, that he would bless all people through him. A covenant is a serious, objective, tangible thing that a relationship can be based on. And we don't really hear of people making friendship covenants in our day, do we? At least not among adults. Maybe a little child will say to another child, "Hey, we're going to be best friends, okay?" And maybe they'll swear on it and they go on their way as best friends. And one will call the other out if he's not being a best friend on this day. But adults don't really do that. We have covenants or contracts when we buy a car or when we buy a house. We have contracts for some of the jobs that we may have. We have a contract when we get married. But in our friendships, we don't have anything like that. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's merely a cultural deficiency? Is it just a convenient place for us to finally be ambiguous about our feelings and not declare any intentions? A place where we can let a relationship dissolve without any consequence or repercussion? Is it just easy, and so we let it be? Friendships are based on commitment just as much as any other relationship is. It takes commitment. Commitment like a covenant that is sworn between two people to make a friendship work, because commitment is founded on selfless love. A lack of commitment is not selfless, but selfish. Because a lack of commitment says, I can't be counted on to still want to do that in the future. It might not make me happy to be your friend come a month from now, so I'm not going to commit to that. I might be busy with something else in a year from now, so I can't commit to being a friend for any indefinite period of time. You see how commitment lack of commitment is a selfish thing. Lack of commitment shows evidence of a lack of selfless love. But commitment makes a relationship strong. Think of this. A commitment to a workout plan makes the body strong. A commitment to a job makes the resume strong. A commitment in marriage keeps the marriage together. So wouldn't it be true then that commitment in our friendships will make the friendships strong as well? It's easy for us to get wrapped up in ourselves, in a relationship like friendships where there are seemingly low stakes. But God wants us to see that we should take our friendships as seriously as any other relationship that we have in our lives. Take it seriously when he says it's founded upon a selfless love, just as our Savior has for us. And while we might not keep this commitment perfectly, while we might not always feel like our relationships are lasting, that we might feel alone, that's when we can remember the words of that song that I mentioned, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Because Jesus has a perfect commitment to us. He always has, and he always will, and he's there to pick us up when we stumble in our relationships. The secret to keeping a strong friendship is not really a secret at all, because commitment is a foundational element of the relationship. And we see that when you have a committed, a lasting, a selfless relationship like that, it brings many benefits, both to yourself, but also especially to the other person. And it's remarkable to see this in the life of Jonathan and David, because there's one other detail about Jonathan that maybe you've overlooked as we've been reviewing this history. I mentioned that Jonathan was the eldest son of Saul, right? And along with being the eldest son, what would go along with that privilege? Well, it would be the inheritance. And in Jonathan's case, because he's the son of a king, his inheritance would be becoming the next king. And yet we know that God sent his prophet Samuel to anoint David as the next king. And that's part of the reason why Saul was pursuing David, because he had seen that the words of the prophet Samuel were coming true. "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you." Saul saw that that was David. Jonathan saw it too. But rather than be envious, he was happy for his friend. He wanted to commit himself to his friend and to his household because the cares, the concerns of David were also his cares and concerns. And so through these trying times, through times where David was seemingly on the rise and Jonathan was on the downslope, the friendship built on selfless love and commitment lasted. And we hear of how Jonathan, even in the face of real threats of persecution from his father, of real harsh words from his very own father, defended his friend. A little further on in Samuel chapter 20, we hear Jonathan defending David's honor in front of Saul. He says, "Why should he," speaking of David, "be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him. And then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. And Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger. And on that second day of the feast, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. That's pretty incredible. Jonathan faced a spear from his own father, an attempt on his life just because he was being a friend. Friends defend their friends. That's probably an obvious statement, but here we see an example of just how far that goes. It goes even to the point of facing physical harm. Now, that may not be likely in our relationship with our friends, but are there some metaphorical spears that we may have to face? When it comes to defending the reputation of a friend, might there be spears coming back at us trying to harm our own reputation? And yet part of that selfless love, part of that commitment, is defending our friends in every time. What is it about our friendships that we sometimes view as negatives? When we look at it from ourselves, do we feel neglected sometimes? Like we've been set aside until it's a convenient time to come back Do we feel like we're simply being used? Like we offer something to our friend, and only when it's time to come get that benefit are we now connected in this relationship? You're probably shaking your head. Yes, I've felt times like that. But have you been as quick to pick up the times where you've done that to your friends? It's a lot easier for us to see the times where we are being neglected, where we are being used, and easy to turn a blind eye to the times when we're doing those things to our friends. God has given us the relationship of friends to not just receive a benefit, but to be a benefit to the other. That is, for us to be a friend to our friends. There's great blessings in that. There's great blessing in having someone you can rely on in your times of need, in your times of distress, just like Jonathan had David and David had Jonathan. It's a great blessing. But God wants us to be that one who can be a blessing to our friends. And when we hear this talk about being selfless, we hear this talk about giving ourselves to our friend, our sinful nature starts to get worried. Our sinful nature starts to think that we're going to get overlooked. Our sinful nature thinks, wait a minute, when am I going to get taken care of? But when you're being selfless, when you're loving, you're never going to lose. Because God has given this gift of friendships to be mutually beneficial. And David saw that being selfless had many blessings for himself, because after the death of his friend Jonathan, as he mourned for his friend Jonathan, he spoke very deep and poignant words about this relationship. And we hear them in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 25 and through 27. He says, "How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished." That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Especially the line where he says, "Your love for me was more wonderful than that of women." The relationship between a man and a wife is very special. It's perhaps one of the closest relationships that there can be. It has very special blessings. And yet, David says the love he felt from his friend Jonathan was more wonderful than the love of women. David saw how special it can be when you have a friend who loves you just as himself, when you have a friend who cares about your concerns, about your worries, about your fears, just as much as you care about them. It's a blessing that can carry you through hard times. It's a blessing that shows to you a reflection of your Savior's love. Maybe you came in here today thinking, why do I need to hear about friends from God? I have friends. I've had friends all my life. Or maybe you thought, I really need to hear today what God has to teach me about friends. And whatever your attitude was coming into this room to hear about friends from the Bible, I hope that you've seen just how much God has to tell us about our friendships. And I hope that you picked up something that you can use in your relationships as you've looked at the relationship between Jonathan and David. But I don't just want you to leave here this Sunday trying to emulate that friendship. Maybe you'll remember that when I started talking up here, I told you that this is a story that also brings us closer to God. And I want to make it clear here just how that is so. First, as you live your life as a friend to all of your friends, and as you see your friends loving you, you're going to see that reflection of Christ's love. You're going to see just how selfless love works, and you're going to be reminded of the source of that great love. And secondly, you're going to be forced to lean on your Savior as your source of love, because we remember that we only love because He first loved us. And as you remember that you're a sinful human being who has a sinful nature, you're going to stumble, and you're going to need forgiveness from your Savior as well. But the amazing thing is, your Savior is always going to be there to pick you up, to restore you, and to fill you up with love once again, so that you can go on living your Christian life as a friend. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.